If you'll take your Bible this morning and turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. Gospel of Luke chapter 2 this morning. We're going to look at the birth of Christ in Luke chapter 2, especially verse 6 down through verse number 20. From maybe a little bit different perspective this morning. From the perspective of the shepherds. Many times we had a children's program the other night. The children's program was really, I think the title of it was, "Who is that in yonder stall?" We just heard a hymn sung, "Who is he that was born," speaking of Christ. But this morning the title of the message is, "Who am I?" Who am I? I want you to stop and really think. From the perspective of the shepherds, and even from the perspective of you and I today, who are we that should hear such a message as we hear in Luke chapter 2? For in Luke chapter 2, and beginning at verse number 6, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just pray right now, O God, that Lord, that you'd not leave any heart untouched as we hear your word this morning. Lord, every heart that is in with the hearing of the word of God this morning, Lord, by your Spirit, move upon our hearts today. Touch our hearts, Lord, as we think of this message of the birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Christ, the Lord, the King of Kings. Lord, open our hearts to your word this morning. Do a work, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All throughout the scripture, all throughout the Bible, there are times where God, whether speaking himself or through an angel or someone else, would bring a message to an individual or group of individuals. And yet, if I were to think of all the messages that were brought to different individuals, I think I would pick this time, this message, to be the one that I would want to be for my life. We could go back to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, the Lord spoke to Abraham. And what a message. I mean, can you imagine? The Lord said to Abraham, I want you to to leave your country, leave your family. I want you to go into land where I will tell you. And the Lord says, and I will make of thee a great nation. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. The Lord said to Abraham, he says, I'm going to use you in a great way. I'm going to do something great with your life. I'm going to make of you a great nation. I'm going to use you in a great way. What a message. Many would say, wow. Imagine hearing that message. We could go to the book of Exodus and we could hear what the Lord would say unto Moses. He said, I've heard the cry of my people. And I'm inclined unto them. I'm going to use you, Moses, to deliver them out of the hand of Pharaoh. And Moses would say, who am I? You're going to use me to do such a great thing, to deliver a whole nation of people from under the hand of an oppressive regime, Pharaoh. We could go further and we could look at the life of Joshua, where the Lord spake to Joshua and said, don't be afraid and be of good courage. And he says, I'm going to use you, Joshua, to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. We could go down to Solomon. The Lord speaking to Solomon, Solomon, I'm going to use you to build a house, a temple in which I will dwell. We could go through all the prophets, from Jonah all the way through to Isaiah and Malachi, where God would give them a message and say, I want to use you to speak the word to people. And in every one of those messages, God would speak, whether directly or through the voice of an angel. And he would tell those people, he would tell them how, what he wanted to do, and especially how he was going to use them. But on this night, this message to this group of people, the Lord doesn't say, I'm going to use you. He doesn't say, I'm going to make of you anything. He just says, I want to give you a message. He says, I'm not instructing you to do anything. I'm not giving you a task. I just want to give you a word. Most important word they would ever hear. Most important word you and I could ever hear. Most important message. More important than the message of Abraham, Moses, Joshua, David, Solomon, any one of the prophets. Most important message. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Can you imagine what it would be like to be these men on this night? Can you imagine what it would be like years later to sit at the feet of these men, whether your grandchildren or just neighbors or friends, and have them tell you once again what it was like, what it was like to be the first persons on earth to hear the gospel message when Christ had come into the world? Stop and consider. I don't think I'd want to be any other person in the Bible but those shepherds. To be the first people that would hear the message. To be the first people, and I know God spoke to Zacharias and Elizabeth and Mary and Joseph, I know that, but to be the first people outside of the immediate people involved to hear the message that the Savior has come. And then to be the first ones. Can you imagine to be the first ones to gaze into that manger and see the face of the Savior? Can you imagine what it was like to be the first ones that had the privilege of sharing the gospel message to the rest of the world? This is what I want us to see this morning. And as we look at it, I want us to think, as they must have thought over the years, who am I? Who am I? You know, three times, actually more than that, but over and over again in Luke chapter 2, it points to them. It says, in chapter 2 and verse number 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." In verse 15, they said, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And that's our focus this morning. I've been just reading this over and over again this week, and honestly, I purposed in my heart, I said, "Lord, I'm not going to go to any commentary. I'm not going to look up any word. I'm not going to research anything. Lord, I just want to read what you said in your word regarding the birth of Christ and how it affected these men, and let it affect us." Because we can spend time researching and doing all this busy work, detailing and everything else. But you know what? If we don't catch this, boy, we miss the most important part of it. And so the title of the message is, "Unto Us." But in parentheses, who are we or who am I? Just stop and consider. Really, stop and just take a moment and think about what they must have thought as they heard the message, as they saw the Christ in the manger, as they went forth and told everybody else, as they went through their life. It doesn't tell us anything further about their life. But I wonder how many times they must have sat down like we ought to sit down and just marvel at the mercy and grace of God. Unto us. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You know, the first thing I want us to see this morning is the men that are mentioned. The men that are mentioned. And that's all you could say, because there's nothing really mentioned about them. Stop and consider for a moment the men that are mentioned in verse number eight. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." All the way down through the scripture to verse number 20, when we go through this account, it just says the shepherds, or they, or them. It's just stop and consider. You know, from the perspective of scripture, and from just reading it, you could come to the place where you could say these men, they're nobody special. They're shepherds. They're nobody special. I'm so thankful for that this morning. So thankful for this, that it does not say that the angel of the Lord appeared to the rulers or the magistrates or the centurions or anybody that had a position or the rich young ruler or someone that had great wealth. No, it just says there was some shepherds hanging out in the field and they were tending their flock. To the rest of the world, they were nobody special. You know, it doesn't even tell us the size of their flock. It doesn't tell us whether it says they're keeping watch over their flock by night, but really it doesn't tell us whether they owned the flock or they could have been the sons of a father that owned the flock. Could have been like David tending the flock of his father, tending the flock of someone else. It doesn't tell us, it literally doesn't tell us anything about these guys. Which brings us to this, that they weren't famous. Doesn't tell us their name. Doesn't tell us their position other than they're shepherds. They were nobody special. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful today that the gospel doesn't require that you be someone special to hear it. Because everybody in this room would be excluded, wouldn't we? Oh, we might think we're someone special, but let's face it. You can be someone special if you want to write your own name in and send it in with $10 to who's who of whatever, right? But they weren't anybody special. They were nobody special in the eyes of the world. But they were somebody special in the heart of God. And that's what makes a difference. Takes us to a very familiar verse, a very simple verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That, what's that next word? Whosoever. Whosoever. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And you know, you think, look at that. Look at what happened that made them so special. Wasn't special that they were shepherds. Wasn't special that they were watching over their flock. Wasn't special that they were abiding the field. What was special is that in verse number 9, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. What was special is that God said to his angel, God said to his messenger, imagine this, and I don't know how many people there were living in the world at that time. Probably nobody does except God. But there had to be millions of people. But of all the millions of people in the world at that time, God sent the angel of the Lord, and he says, I want you to go to those guys right down there. That's how special you and I are. God said, I want you to go. I want you to appear. I want you to physically appear to those men right there on that hill tending that flock. And the angel of the Lord came upon them. And then imagine this. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. You imagine what? You can't imagine. I can't imagine. Come on. We can't imagine what that was like. You know, there's times where when you, as you get older and as you have kids and as you have grandkids, you begin to tell stories, right? We begin to tell stories and we remember and we tell our grandkids' story, and our kids are saying, wait a minute, when you told me that story, it was this way. And now when you're telling your grandkids, it's this way. And sometimes, over the course of time, the story gets embellished, doesn't it? Right? I mean, when our grandkids grow up and they remember this storm, there's going to be a lot more snow than there was this year. Right? There's going to be 4 feet of snow in 2020. And over the course of time, as we retell the story, sometimes the details get vague and sometimes they get embellished or things get left out or we expand. We just want to make the story better and better as it goes on, right? I mean, that fish I finally caught that was really that big, boy, you should have seen it. And the battle that took 30 seconds as I caught that minnow in the bait can, right, became a shark, you know. But I tell you what, no matter how many times these men retold this story, they couldn't embellish it. How can you embellish the reality of this, that an angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord appeared to you, and the glory of the Lord shone round about you? They didn't need to try and explain it away. They didn't need to try and... All they had to say was, you can't make this up. We were just out there tending our flocks. Out there in the middle of the night, tending our flocks. And all of a sudden, we were afraid. Hello? You would be too. And an angel of the Lord appeared. And then all of a sudden, the glory of the Lord was round about us. And they said, and we were sore afraid. We were so shaken. And then they said this. And all of a sudden, we heard a voice. That angel sent from God spoke audibly to us and said, "Fear not. Fear not. For behold, I bring you." Just stop and think about that again. I bring you. That begs a question. Who are we? What do you mean you bring us? We're just shepherds. We're nobody. We're nothing special. We haven't achieved any fame or fortune. There's no notoriety. Why us? The angel said, "I bring you. You. If there was no one else in the world, if there had been no other people in the world, apart from Joseph, Mary, Jesus, and these shepherds," and it doesn't even tell us how many. We know there was more than one because they spake one to another. "But if there was no one else in the world," the angel says, "I bring you, a message. Good tidings. Great joy." And then it says, "which shall be to all people." And so stop and just pause for a moment. Because it does say to all people. The message has come to you and I. But when you stop and think about it, first thing we think when we think of these men is, who am I? Who are we? Who are you and I, really, this morning? That God should love us so much. That He would give us such a message. Sometimes we get thinking a little bit too much about ourselves. Paul would put it this way in Ephesians chapter 2. After he explained in the first four verses about how undone, the first three verses, how undone and wicked and sinful and child of wrath, dead in trespass and sin. Then he says this, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He hath loved us, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace He saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But you know, as I read that passage over and over and over again this week, I was just struck by the just amazing, awesome, overwhelming mercy and grace of God. That on this night, this moment, when Christ, the Son of God, would come into the world, that God would bring the message first to just some simple men out on a hill tending a flock of sheep. And I think the message in all of that is that God wants you to know how much He cares for you. You don't have to be somebody special in the eyes of the world. But I guarantee this, you are somebody special in the eyes of God. And we're not worthy. We're not worthy of any of it. Because there's nothing said of these men that give them any reason to claim any worth or any credit or any reason why the angel of the Lord should have come to them. And apart from God's mercy and His grace, I can't think of any reason why good God should have brought that message to me or to you or to anybody else. But the Bible says God commended his love toward us and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so first of all, they were just men. They were nobody special in the eyes of the world. But boy, were they somebody special in the eyes of God. Somebody special in the eyes of God that when Christ is born, you know, if we ever get the opportunity, I don't know how it all works, and you don't either, so don't rank on me about it. But when we get to glory, and if we do get the opportunity to walk around and talk with others and ask them questions, boy, I'd like to go up to these men and say, what was it like? What was it really like? Have you ever stopped and just lately let your heart be overwhelmed? By the fact, the truth that God has brought that message to you. When there's a world driving by without Christ on their way to hell. And yet for some reason, by his mercy and grace, he said to you and me, unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I don't know why. Look outside and you see those cars going by. And I know they're all going to church. But you see them go by. Boy, every time we see a car go by, we ought to stop and think, why? Why, oh God? Why me? Who am I, Lord? Who am I that you should bring that message to me so that I can hear good tidings of great joy? And that leads us to the second point, the message. The message. What a message. All the messages that are brought to people in the Bible, and yet none of them come close to this because they all point to this. The message that they heard. It was brought just to them on this night. For unto you is born this day. I have to stop and just read that over again. Millions of people in the world. And the angel of the Lord says, for unto you is born this day. And they would go on, they say, they spoke it to us. He hath made it known unto us. It was told unto us. Boy, I tell you what, they took this message personally, didn't they? And you would too, and I would too. If the angel of the Lord came, and the glory of the Lord shone round about us, and this message was to us, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The message, first of all, was a message of help. It was a message of help because it says, unto you is born this day a Savior, a Savior. That speaks of a need for help. Not only did they need help, but every person needs this help. Because while there's many things we can do to alleviate our circumstances, our situations, and we work our way out of different things, and we get help from others to help us out with different things. The reality of this is that no one else on earth, and not even yourself, can help you with this problem, and you need a Savior. Because a Savior speaks of a rescue. And that rescue is from sin. And the consequence of sin and the judgment of sin. And the penalty of sin. The Bible says when we were yet without strength, in other words, when we couldn't save ourselves, and you can't save yourself, you can't pull yourself up by your bootstraps out of the mire of sin. You can't work your way out of it. You can't climb your way out of it. You can't run from it. You can't hide from it. But you can be rescued from it through a Savior named Jesus Christ. This is why Jesus came. This is why God sent His Son to be a Savior, to rescue us from sin. That's why the hymn writer put it this way. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. You didn't lift yourself. You can't lift yourself. No one else lifted you up. God, through Jesus Christ, reached down and pulled you out of that pit and set your feet upon a rock and established your goings. Put a new song in your mouth, even praise unto your God. He rescued you from sin. He rescued you from your sin through His Son, Jesus Christ, whom He sent. 1 John chapter 4, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Because your sin, my sin, your sin put you in a situation, my sin put me in a situation of needing help, help from above. It would be sent to earth to go to a cross to pay the price for my sin so that with the shed blood of Jesus Christ, I could be rescued from those sins. And my sins could be forgiven. And instead of judgment and condemnation and the fires of hell, I could have peace and joy and the gift of eternal life and the assurance that I would be absent from the body in presence with the Lord. And the message to them that night was, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, a Savior. And that's the message the world needs to hear. There might be someone listening today, whether you're here or listening through the internet or live stream or whatever. But the message you need to hear today is that Jesus saves. That Jesus saves. Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But you must be saved. You need to be saved. Well, if I could look every person that's listening right square in the eyes of your face, I would just say simply and lovingly, you must be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. You need to be saved. You have to be saved. Please be saved. Turn to Jesus Christ and trust in Him as your Savior. There's nothing more important. And this message came to these shepherds, whether it was two or three or four, I don't know. But there was at least two. And the angel of the Lord said to them, for unto you, listen, if you're listening today through the web, please, unto you is born this day in the city of death. Savior. Unto you, there's a Savior. Jesus Christ. He loved you. He died for you. Peter says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. You might say, well, how do I be saved? Just like that young child that just got baptized this morning. It's not through that water. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not through what she did. It's through the person in whom she placed her faith in, Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And the message came to these shepherds, a message of help. But not only was it a message of help, but may I also submit to you this morning. It's a message of hope. So thankful that the other night, as the kids did their program, I was listening to it, and they did a great job. But I was so thankful that they went from Jesus Christ in the cradle to Jesus Christ on the throne of glory in the book of Revelation. I want you to turn with me to the last pages of your Bible. To Revelation chapter 22. The last words of the Bible. Because the message that was given to these shepherds is, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And catch this. Which is Christ the Lord. Which is Christ the Lord. A Savior, Jesus. The name Jesus means to save. Christ, the one that God would send, His only begotten Son. But Lord, Lord. That word Lord, that title Lord, means to be sovereign over all. Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, whether in heaven, earth, or under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord. And boy, this message that was given to these shepherds in Luke chapter 2, not only a message of help, but as a message of hope. It's a message that we need to hear over and over again as we go through this life, isn't it? That Jesus Christ is Lord. That He is King of kings, Lord of lords. That He is on His throne, that He is in control, that He is coming back to take us to Himself. He's coming back to rule and reign. He's coming back to set everything. He's coming back to bind Satan for that one and last final time and cast him away. Hey, folks, it's a message of hope. And the reason why I take you to Revelation chapter 22 is because in verse number 20 and verse number 21, the last words of the Bible, He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly, amen. And look at this, even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, amen. And the emphasis there, the primary emphasis is on the Lord. Because when that message came to those shepherds, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. They were then told that they would find us, the sign would be given them. They would find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. But that baby would not stay in that cradle. That baby would not stay in that manger. That baby is the Christ, the Son of God. And that baby would live for the next 33 years a holy, perfect life. And substitute, be the substitute and the Savior for our sins on the cross of Calvary. He would die on that cross. He'd be taken down off of that cross, put in a tomb, and on the third day, He would arise and triumph openly over sin and over death and over the devil. And He would arise and live and go back to glory where He's seated on the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us. And one day He's going to stand up because the Father is going to say, I want you to go one more time. And we're going to meet Him in the clouds. Amen? 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 Amen. Amen. We are going to meet Him in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know, that was a message that was to the early church over and over again, was Look for the Lord to come again. Look for his coming. Wait for his coming. Long for his coming. Love is appearing. And in these troubling days in which we live, we need to receive the message, not only the message of help, that Jesus Christ is Savior, but the message of hope, that Jesus Christ is Lord and he is coming again. So number two, there was a message. There was a message given to just a group of men, a couple of shepherds up on a hillside. What a message it was. And so you look at verse number 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Can you imagine? I mean, it's not enough that you got an angel of the Lord speaking to you, giving you a message, but you got to top it off with a whole choir singing. Maybe they were deaf and they needed some extra volume on it, but I don't know. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. You can't embellish this message. You can't embellish this account. Because the message is given. You're told that you'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And then a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And look at verse 15. And it came to pass that the angel was gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, hey, you know what? Let's go. I mean, put it in the vernacular of today, right? Wouldn't you say that? I mean, if this had happened to you, if this had happened to me, what are you going to say? Well, I really don't know whether it really happened. What should we do? No, they just said, hey, let's go. Let's check this out. Let's see. Look what it says. It came to pass, the angel was gone away. The shepherd said in one another, let us go now, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And look at verse 16. They came with haste. I don't know what those sheep thought. But all of a sudden, that flock of sheep, all alone by themselves. Because you know what? All of a sudden, these shepherds took off a running. Can you imagine what that, I mean, they're out on a mountainside, all these sheep, and all of a sudden this all takes place. The Bible said, they said, let's go. And they began to run. They began to run. And they said, let's go see what the Lord has made known unto us. And you know what happens from this point on? Is what should happen to every one of us when we hear and we receive the gospel message, is that we become messengers. Because this is what happened in their life. All of a sudden, they're no longer shepherds. Well, I mean, they were shepherds. They were still shepherds. But now they become something more than just shepherds. They became messengers. And I want you to stop and consider, under this last point, number one, the privilege. What a privilege they had. What a privilege they had. Stop and consider for a moment. Just stop and marvel over this. The message is made known to them. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ Lord. And you'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. So they get up. They say, wait a minute. Let's go. And off they go, right? I tell you what, they weren't driving one of those economy cars either. They found something fast to get there. They made haste. And they got there. And look at verse 15. They found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Can you imagine what a privilege? What a privilege to be the first people, apart from Mary and Joseph, to gaze down upon the face of Christ. Have you ever stopped to really think about what it would be like to see Christ? To see Christ in all his glory? You know, the Bible doesn't It doesn't speak about how old they were. And I've thought about this, because it could very well be that they were young men, and it could be that later on they would see Jesus grown up and in his public ministry. I don't know. Some folks do get to live longer lives, and it could be that they actually saw him later on in life. But just stop and think of the privilege these men have to see Christ. And then stop and think about the privilege you and I have to see the reality of Christ in our lives, to see Christ through the Word of God. The world doesn't see Christ. They don't know Christ. They may hear of Christ, but they don't see Christ like you and I do. They don't see Christ real and alive in their life. And yet we are so privileged, folks. Friend, we are so privileged. Brethren, we are so privileged. What a privilege it is to see Christ living in us, to see the reality of Christ in your life, to know Christ, to abide in Christ. The Bible says that the Jewish people, there's a veil upon their eyes. 1 Corinthians, but it says, but when their heart is turned to the Lord, when their heart turns, when a Jewish person without Christ, there's a veil and they can't see Christ. And that's why we need to pray for them. But when their heart turns to see Christ, that veil is lifted and all of a sudden they see Christ. I've seen it happen, folks. One of the most wonderful days of my life was to be seated across a table with an elderly Jewish woman and to see that veil lift and to hear her voice as at one point she says, how can I say the name Jesus? And then see that veil lift as her heart turned to the Lord and see her and hear her say, I can say it now. I can say his name now. Oh, the privilege of seeing Christ. What a privilege the world is missing out on. And what a privilege we have. But I want you to notice something. Verse 17, when they had seen it, when they had seen it, what did they do? Oh, they didn't hide it. They didn't shut it up. They made known abroad the saying which was told him concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in their heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. And you know what they did? They just couldn't keep their mouth shut. And that's the way it ought to be. That's the way it ought to be with you and I. Not that we have to go and tell the gospel. Not that we should, but boy, that we just can't keep our lips closed. You know, it's fun that when the children, they get all excited about Christmas, and they get excited when they buy a gift for one of their cousins or something, and then you hear this, you know, do you want me to tell you what I got you? Right, do you want me to tell you? I can't. You want me to tell you? I can't. They try so hard to keep that little secret all bottled up. And then at Christmas Day, or whatever day, they're watching their cousins open it up and their eyes are getting bigger. Oh, wait till you see what I got you. Right? Folks, that excitement ought to be in our hearts. But our lips shouldn't be sealed. Our voice should be loud and clear. Come see what the Lord has done in my life. Come hear the message. They said, they said, we're just going to tell people what we saw and heard. Look at verse 20. They returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they heard and seen as it was told unto them. And they said, you know what? We're just going to tell everybody what we heard and what we saw. What the angel of the Lord said to us about this child that we saw, that he is a Savior, that he is the Christ, that he is the Lord. Folks, that's what God wants us to do. He just wants us to tell others what he's done for us. What a privilege we have to know Christ. What a privilege we have. And this privilege became their priority. I feel bad for the sheep in a little bit. Not really. But you know, just think about it. Well, these sheep would probably say, hey, we're free. But all of a sudden, the sheep weren't their priority anymore. Oh, they might have gone. I suppose they went back and found them or did whatever. But their priority became the message that they had heard. And they said, we're just going to tell everybody. And they just started telling everybody. And people marveled. People are amazed. Oh, that people would be amazed and marvel at the words that come out of our lips when we simply tell them that Jesus saved my soul. And Jesus made me whole. And I've got a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Because my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, in conclusion, who are we? Who am I? Because you see, the message that came to them said this. Verse 10, the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And I'm so glad God put that part in there, aren't you? He didn't just say just to them. He said, I'm giving that message to you, but that message is to all people. And I'm so grateful, so thankful this morning that by God's mercy and God's love and God's grace, that that message has come to me, and that that message has come to you. But my question this morning is this. Have you received the message? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Please, if you hear nothing else this morning, please hear this. Jesus Christ loved you, and he came to die for your sins so that he could save your soul from your sin and give you eternal life. You don't have to be somebody special in the world because you're already somebody special in God's sight. For God so loved the world. That means you. That he gave his only begotten son for you. That if you would believe in him, he will give you eternal life and you won't perish. And Jesus simply said this in Matthew chapter 11. Come unto me. Come unto me. And that's why that hymn that sung so many times is so precious and so important. Jesus says, just come. Come to me. Just as a message came to the shepherds. And your response simply has to be, just as I am, I come. Just as I am, I come. These shepherds, when they heard the message, they came. They saw Christ. Their lives were changed forever. And when you come to Christ, oh, you don't clean yourself up first. You don't make yourself someone special first. You just come as you are. You come as you are. And you come to Jesus Christ and no one else. And boy, the change, the work, the salvation that he gives to you, and the new life that he gives to you, and the hope that he gives to you, and the joy and the peace. I tell you what, if you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, I don't know how to tell you anymore, but you don't know what you're missing. And yet you can have them today. You can have Jesus Christ today. For this message, it was given so long ago when Jesus Christ was born, is the same message today, that Jesus Christ is the Savior, the Christ, the Lord, the Son of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let's pray.